You open your Bibles to 2 Timothy. I'd like to focus on a verse this morning. The title of the message is The Crown of Glory. Timothy says that there is a crown of glory, that the Lord of glory has in store and wants to give to everyone that is faithful. Isn't that amazing this morning that God, who provided salvation for us, God loves us so much, He looks down upon the human race with a heart of love, a heart of compassion, a heart of mercy. We saw that in the Sunday school lesson. As He ministered among mankind, Jesus' heart was touched with the groups of people, the crowds of people that thronged around Him. And it seems like when you read the stories about the ministry of Jesus, that Jesus just could hardly help Himself. He just had to reach out. He just had to touch people. He just drew people to Himself. And that's what Jesus wants today. Not only is He providing salvation for lost, sinful humanity, people that really don't deserve what God gives to us, and on top of that, He's right now providing for us for the future. And He has this crown of recognition that we want to look at this morning that He wants to give to each one that is faithful. I'm just blessed by that. And this morning we want to look at some things that are part of this crown and are going to be needful in our lives and experience in order for us to obtain this crown. But I want this morning just to have us encouraged and strengthened again and renew our vigor to go on and be faithful in our Christian journey here in this earthly journey that we find ourselves in. Let's read a few verses from 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'd like to back up a little bit and bring the context of this. This is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. And in verse 1 of chapter 4, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. And he says to Timothy, he says, here's the job that I want, that you're called to do and that you're responsible for. And this is for ministers this morning. It's for leaders. It's for fathers. It's for all of us this morning. He says that we're to share, we're to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And then Paul gives his own testimony here, and I'm so blessed by that. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Paul is saying that, he's not saying that he was perfect. He's not saying that he done everything just right. But he is saying his testimony is that he has done to the best of his ability what he feels God had given him to do. And because of that, Paul had confidence that there was going to be, should we say this morning, something there, a crown of righteousness that the Lord had there for him. And let's think a little bit about a crown this morning and what it really is. We talk about, well, a crown is simply a symbol of honor, is what it is. It's something that is given to someone that has done something that is recognizable. is honorable, what are the words to describe that? Something that is kind of outstanding, we might say. More than just the normal. It's a symbol of distinction, I guess we could say. Today, sometimes we talk about trophies. People do a lot to have a trophy. Something that they can look at and it reminds them of something they have achieved. And people will go to great lengths to have trophies. You know, one of the things I thought about when you think about trophies is trophies are really, they mean the most to the person who has put the effort into achieving that. They're really not worth all that much to anyone else. Back in the days when I was in the sale business and had sales for people, sometimes we would disperse households and those trophies that individuals had gained in their life would come forth and they would be auctioned off and sold. And you know, many times they brought a few dollars. Maybe one of the children bought them and took them along home because they remembered when the generation before them had done whatever it took to gain that trophy, but they weren't really all that valuable to the next person. They meant the most to the person that put the effort into it. And I believe that's how it is with this crown. Each one of our crowns is going to mean the most to us. If we are successful, if we are victorious, if we make it, yes, and are faithful, if we fight this good fight of faith, if we have finished the course and kept the faith, and we obtain this crown of honor, it's going to mean more to us than it will to anyone else, I believe. Now, Paul talked about this crown of glory, or this, he calls it a crown of righteousness here. Peter is actually the one, going back to him, we're not going to turn there, but in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter calls it the crown of glory. He says that when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away, Peter says. It's something that lasts forever. It's different than the trophies that we were talking about, or the symbol of honors that get handed out today. You know, they're for a time, and after a while something greater, something newer takes place, and many times after a period of time it's forgotten. People don't even think about what took place back there because there's something new on the horizon. I don't think that's going to be the case with this. It's a crown. It's something that we're going to have, and it won't fade. The glitter, the excitement of it will never fade away. It will always be new. It will always be fresh. It will always be there. It won't age like we know things aging today. The excitement won't wear off because we've made it. We've been victorious. We fought the fight. That's what Paul was saying. He was saying that I have finished this walk of faith that I was in, and I've been victorious, and praise God, I'm at the end of the journey, and the crown is there for me. And Paul, I believe, was anticipating experiencing the new reality of that experience every day in the future. And that's so beautiful as I think about that. What makes that possible? As I thought about that, why is it possible that it won't fade away? Why will it be possible for us always to experience the newness of being in the presence of God and the joy of being there with Him? Well, I believe the answer to that lies in the fact that He says that when the chief shepherd, who is it? It's Jesus, the one who made salvation possible for us to begin with. He's the King of glory. And why shouldn't He be able to give us the crown of glory that doesn't fade away? It's interesting to me that even David, back in the Old Testament, and you may, if you like to, turn back to Psalm 24, David penned some words that describe his thoughts about the King of Glory and who Jesus, who God really was. He actually asked the question in Psalm 24. Oh, let's see. Let's bring in at verse 7. He says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in." And then he asks a question. Who is the King of Glory? He says, "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in." Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. So this morning, Peter is referring to the chief shepherd, and I believe he's referring to Jesus, who is the Son of God and who has access. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And you know, we try to fathom what Jesus meant when he said that all power is given unto me. And I believe this is one aspect of that. The power was given to Jesus to give to those that are faithful, those that acknowledge him, those that receive him, those that live their lives for him. He's given the power to be able to pronounce upon them the blessing, give them salvation, and give them this crown of recognition that Paul and Peter both are talking about. Now, before I move into the main part of the message, I'd like to notice a few things yet. I already alluded to the fact that this is a crown that it won't fade away. It's always there. It's a crown. The crown of glory is for eternity. It's not just for here and now and this time and this life, but it extends into a future life. It's a reality of future. It's a reality of having God's approval and God's praise on our life if we are faithful, if we have been faithful, and if we have lived according to his will and plan and purposes, have acknowledged him as Savior and Lord of our lives, have submitted to his lordship, then we have the promise of receiving something that never dulls, never fades away, never leaves us. It will always be here. It's different than the things of earth that we know today. The other thing I'd like to just expound on a little bit in the beginning is the fact that the glory of the Lord is of the greatest beauty, the greatest splendor. I don't know what words to put into that this morning to try to impress upon our minds the greatness of God and the beauty of God and the Lord of glory. I don't know what all to put in there to it, but I just believe this morning that it's things that are beyond human comprehension. We can expand our mind and our knowledge in the things of God, and it goes way beyond that yet. It's of the greatest beauty and splendor. You know, the crowns of this life, they come with beauty and splendor. And yet, this is something that is far more, far, far greater and far, far, far more splendorous than anything we know here. The other thing I'd like to remind us this morning is that this crown is not just for some spiritual giants of faith. Yes, God wants us to be a faithful people, and we know that it takes faith to be a child of God and to live our lives for God. It takes a lot of faith. It takes courage. But this crown of glory is not just for those people who seem to be faithful, big faithful spiritual giants. But it tells us here in verse 8 of chapter 4, 2 Timothy, that it is not for me only, Paul says, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So this morning, dear ones, it's for those who are watching for the return of Jesus. Those who are ready, those who have, yes, named his name and are anxious and are watching and observing the times and the seasons and reminding themselves that his time, his return is coming again. Well, going into the main part of the message this morning, I'd like to ask the question, how is the crown of righteousness attained? And I have about 6 points. I'd like to back up to chapter 2, in fact, of 2 Timothy. And I'd like to read just a number of verses here, and these points I have drawn from this chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may be able to please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised up from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We're going to cease reading there. I'd like to draw a few points beyond that, but I'm not going to read the entire chapter for the sake of time this morning. The first thing that I want to draw attention to this morning is that the crown of righteousness is only going to be won. Victory only comes for all those who live the Christian life by the rules. And I take that from verse 5. He says, "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." We know that to any game that we play, there are rules. Life is full of rules. We don't live life without rules. It seems like the world that we live in, there is more law and more rules being put in place all the time. And it's just a fact of life. Life is full of rules. Well, the spiritual life this morning, my dear people, is not any different. God has put in place what he wants us to live by. God has put in place the rules. And we will not obtain the crown of righteousness or the crown of glory unless we play by the rules. Life must be lived. We know that in this life, disobeying rules brings consequences. This is a holiday weekend, and I believe because of that, the police force is putting a lot of pressure on the traffic. Last evening, we traveled coming home from Altoona, being out with our daughter, and the turnpike was just full of state police, and they were enjoying life, I believe, last night. They were just pulling over one vehicle after another, I believe, people that were speeding. People were finding out that there was a rule to be driving on the turnpike last night. And so it is in all of life. The crown of righteousness will not be obtained unless we know the rules, unless we live by the rules. Anybody that enters into any kind of race, and I thought about this earlier this spring in relation to men striving for a crown. We have a group of bicyclists, maybe you see them in the community, but they travel around our area quite a bit. They practice in our area, and they're passionate about what they're doing. I believe there's rules in place for them. I believe that, but they're very passionate about what they're doing, and they put their all into it. And I've noticed this spring that it seems like there's quite an attitude that goes along with that. If you find yourself in their way, it seems like their attitude is that they have the right to the road. Just clear out of our path right now. It's because they have a mission in mind. It's because they have a goal, and because there's rules to their game, and they play within the rules, but it's about obtaining a crown. It's about getting that trophy. This morning, how passionate are we in our Christian life? How passionate about being victorious in life are we? Do we have that same kind of passion? This morning, I believe it's necessary. I believe that's what Paul was saying, that we need to be passionate. We need to be putting everything we can into obtaining the crown of glory. But we must do it by the rules. The second thing I want you to notice this morning is I believe the crown of glory is for those who are partakers of the fruit. Notice verse 6, he says, "The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruit." Now, what application do we make to the spiritual life? How do we, what happens in our spiritual walk of life to be a partaker of fruit? Well, I like to think about it like this morning. Life is something that God gives to us. God designs life. God gives it to us. And we have a choice of what we're going to do with the life that God gives to us. God has designed it. God knows what he wants for each one. God knows what is best for us. God gives us to it. It's like a plate that he hands out to us. And God says, here's life. And we have a choice to decide if we're going to be a partaker of that life, if we're going to be a partaker of the life that God gives to us, or if we're going to be one who refuses to walk the way that God hands out life to us. And I realized this morning that that's very different for us, for every one of us. It's different for each of our experiences. I think of Brother Jay and Linda this morning and the experience that they're going through. That's life. It has produced fruit. They must partake of the fruit this morning. It's the fruit that God is holding forth. They must decide how they're going to relate, should I say, to that. And I use that as an example this morning because that's life for each one of us. It requires faith. It requires strength because life is full of many surprises. Life is full of different experiences. But you know, if we're going to receive the crown, if we're going to come through life victorious, we must be partakers of the fruit. We must walk the road. We must walk the life that God has designed and holds out for us, I believe, this morning. And having said all that, I've often said already, and I'll just repeat it again. God has our spiritual good in mind, brothers and sisters. He wants the best for us, and God gives us life to get our attention. God gives us life to see how we respond. God gives us life to see to test our faith in the journey and see how we're going to react. Let's be partakers of the fruit. Let's have faith. Let's be courageous. Let's walk in the ways that God is asking us and partake of the things that God has in store for us. Number 3 this morning, to gain the crown of glory requires a diligent study of the word. And we see that in verse 15 where he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." And I just like to encourage us this morning to be students of the word. I believe that we must study the word of God. Each one of us personally must study the word of God for numerous reasons. I believe that the foundations in our own life, our own conviction, which is a part of the foundation, if we're going to be victorious and we're going to receive the crown at the end, it connects back with my first thought of life being lived by rules. We must know why we do the things we do and why we believe the things we believe and why we practice the things we do in this life. And unless we study God's word, we don't really understand why we do those things. And I have a growing burden on my heart that we be students of the word and that we study. Recently, we were in another church setting at a wedding, and the minister that had a part in that wedding service had some principles of God's word that I agreed with and that were good and well to be talking about, that we would talk about. But the emphasis of the message was that we pass these things on to the rising generation because we received them from the fathers and our fathers taught us, and that was well and it was good. But I thought about that through the whole message. The emphasis was not so much on the Bible and on the Word of God and why Jesus taught this and explaining to the people that were that audience why Jesus was teaching that marriage is for life, for instance. It's just because we do it. That's what we've been taught. And that's right. That's good and that's well. But we must understand, we must have spiritual conviction ourselves, and we must be able to explain to others why we believe what we believe and so on. And that doesn't happen outside of the study of God's word, personal study. The other reason I would like to encourage us to be faithful and be students of the word is the Bible says that we're to exhort one another. Inspiration must come to our hearts, first of all, before we can exhort other people in the way of life. And how can we encourage? How can we exhort others? How can we be an inspiration to others? Unless we understand the Word of God ourselves, unless we have studied, unless we are familiar with Scripture. And I believe this morning that, I really believe, and I'm so thankful this morning, brethren and sisters, that I can come to church with a group of people who studies the Word of God and who gets inspired and who gets up. When there are brethren that get up and expound in the Word of God and inspire me, because that's a part of receiving the crown. It's a part of making it as we get encouragement one from another. But we all need to be students of the word, and we all need to be, yes, encouraging one another. It's not just a one-way street this morning. And so I'd like to encourage us that we be students of the word and that we study and be able to encourage and inspire each other. The fourth thing that I noticed, and I take this from verse 22, I didn't read all this, but verse 22 says, flee also youthful lusts, and follow after righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. This morning, God wants us to be people that have pure hearts, that flee sin and lust, that we have a heart that as he looks down upon us, he sees a people who longs to follow after the things of God, the things that make for peace and unity. Charity, he uses the word charity, a love for each other. You know, this morning it begins with our own personal relationship with God, because God is love, and outside of God there is no love, and we cannot have charity and peace and relationships one with another outside of that. But I believe it's a requirement of the Christian life, and it's a part of the fruit that God wants us to walk in as well, so that we can, yes, in the end, have his blessing and receive the crown of righteousness. He says, keep your heart pure, out of a pure heart. We must keep pure hearts, maintain pure thoughts, so that the heart is pure. Keep the heart pure so that the thoughts remain pure. It's connected together, is what it is. I, again, this morning would just like to encourage us that in our time and day when there's so many things that are are trying to get our attention and draw our attention, and yes, we have means of communication today in ways that are new to us and so on. And let's not let these ways distract us from the things that God would have us involved in. Let's not allow these temporal, these things that are blessings, these things that are meant to be tools for us, to distract us from having communication with God and our prayer life and our personal devotions and those kind of things, because it's all connected, dear ones. That's where it all begins. It's a part of keeping pure hearts. It's a part of God doing his work in our hearts and keeping us established in the things that he wants us to establish ourselves in. When we open those doors to the things that the world is holding forth, and the things that Satan would like to bring into our lives, his motive, his desire is to destroy, is what it is, and it will do that. And so this morning, the crown of righteousness is going to be achieved and received by those who keep pure hearts, I believe. Number five, I believe that in order for us to gain this crown of righteousness, we need to be people who are willing to look beyond ourselves. The focus cannot be on ourselves. People who want to bring others, and goes back to the Sunday school lesson, but I take it from verse 24 in chapter 2. He says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach and to be patient." I believe what Paul was telling Timothy here is that we must, by our life, by our example, reach out to others, draw others into the kingdom, draw other men towards God and towards salvation, towards the church, towards the relationship with God and with God's people. And Paul was simply saying that this takes patience, it takes time. And it takes men who are willing to do this, to put time and to put energy into this. I believe God's program this morning is that he wants you and I to do what the work for him here. We know in the Sunday school lesson brought that out. God really didn't need those 70 disciples. Jesus could have decided in any other way. He had all power and all knowledge and all wisdom, and in any other way that he would have decided to reach those people, he could have done that. But one of the brethren said that he chose to do it like this. He chose men, and that's exactly right. That's what God is choosing to do today yet. He is choosing to use people to preach the word, to touch the hearts and the lives of people. That's why he's placed you and I in the communities that he has. He has given us the neighbors he has given us because he wants us to do a work. Dear ones, let's not let him down. Let's take the time and, well, notice verse 26. One of the things that I think about many, many times is I think about people around us. Verse 26, he says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, people around us, society around us, many of them wish that they weren't where they are. But they are where they are because the devil has done a work in their lives and has taken them captive against their own will, against their own desires. Yes, they have made choices. They have opened the doors. But the devil has gained the inner handle, as it were. And you know, many of them, as they stop and they really ponder their lives, they wish there'd be a way out, but they don't know where that way is. And that's what God is wanting you and I to do. And so I believe a part of our work and a part of the work that we must be involved in to gain this crown of righteousness is to reach out and to touch the hearts and the lives of people around us by any way we can. And there's no right and wrong way to do that necessarily. God gives us opportunities. God opens doors. God gives us, yes, those times and those moments. Let's walk through them. Let's take courage. Let's reach out to others and help them and bring others into the kingdom as well. Number six, receiving the crown of righteousness requires purpose and discipline. Let's just, I take this, I'd like to go back to 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So I think about obtaining this crown of righteousness, this crown of glory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll break in at verse 23, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." And he goes on then and he says in verse 26, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul again is considering his own personal journey. There's a few things that I notice that I like to just point out that Paul is saying here. In verse 23, he says, "And this I do for the gospel's sake." It's not just for our own benefit, dear ones, this morning. Yes, we want to live a Christian life and we want to be partakers of the glory. We want that crown that Paul was talking about that is laid up for us. But Brother Lloyd made a comment in his devotions this morning about Jesus returning back to the Father and preparing a home for us, receiving the glory that the Father had for him. And then he said something like this, but it wasn't just about his own glory. The glory that he received, he wants to give to us. And this morning, dear ones, we need to see it in the same way. The glory that is here, the crown that is here for us, it's not just for us. But we must also want to see others receive the crown. "I do this," Paul says, "for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker thereof with you." I don't just want to be the only one there receiving the crown. I want others to be there. I want my neighbors to be there. I want you to be there. We want our families to be there, our children to be there. And so we do this not just for our own benefit, but we do it for the gospel's sake, for Christ's sake. Christ who made it possible for us to begin with. Christ who was looking beyond himself and reached out to us, wants us now to look beyond ourselves and reach out to others as well. Another thing that I do notice is that in order for us to obtain the crown, we really don't have a choice but to run, but to put life into practice. We must live the life. We must walk in the way that God has given to us. You know, we can say it's too hard. It takes too much time. It takes too much energy. It takes, well, my interests just aren't there. I'd sooner be involved in, you can go anywhere you want to. The truth of the matter is, if you want to be a partaker of this crown of life, this crown of glory that Paul was talking about, you're going to have to run the Christian life. You're going to have to put yourself into it. There is no other options this morning. You can't say, well, I'm not going there, because that's already spelling defeat. You will not be a partaker. And that's exactly what Paul was saying. And Paul, again, considered himself. Paul said, you know, I have preached to others. I have told others what God wanted me to tell them. I have lived a life. But he stopped and he pondered, and it's good for all of us to do that, to look at ourselves and say, well, am I really in God's will? Am I just telling others? he brings this thought of temperance into all things. In verse 27, he says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul was considering life, and he was reminding himself that there's temperance in all things. This morning, we all have things that we enjoy. We all have things that, yes, get our attention. We all have things that those things, many of them are good and right in a right perspective. But let's keep them in temperance. And keep the things of God in the first place. One of the things that I think about as we gather into worship in a time like this is our worship. We come together as needy people. We come together as people who have souls. Our souls, our inner being wants to connect with God. And we do that in our worship services. That's one of the reasons we come together. It's where we find food to go on, spiritual food to go on for the next week, the next trial, the next part of life. It's what helps us to prepare to be a partaker of the fruit that God provides for us. And this morning again, may we keep our body under subjection, and may we partake and be of those that get the spiritual food that God wants us to have, so that we be not castaways. And so finally, our testimony at the end of life can be with the testimony of the Apostle Paul, that I have fought a good fight. I put everything into it I can put into it. And there's a crown for me that is waiting. There's a crown for each one of us, a crown for each one in this audience, and many more crowns. It's one of the differences between the plan of God and the earthly pursuits. Many times there's a limited amount of crowns. God does not have a limited amount of crowns this morning. There's one for all that are faithful. And again this morning, may we just be those faithful people that make it on, encourage each other, and make it on to victory. Let's kneel for prayer.